Hope everybody's having a blessed day so far. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Lord laid on a little something different on my heart today, something that we haven't talked about in general, I guess, that we have, but I'm going to be talking about faith today, by faith. After I do several series in a row, I like to come back to something like this, and we wrapped up our financial series last week. And so we're looking at today the idea of by faith, and with an underlying message is by faith we understand. You know, we have to have faith to be able to understand God's word, because it's just a little different. It doesn't comprehend to the natural mind. And, you know, sometimes, you know, have you ever had trouble understanding the Bible? You read something in there and something just doesn't click, or it doesn't compute, whatever, in our mind, because it doesn't really line up technically with natural laws, you know, that you and I have to operate by. And that's why it's important that we have faith, and that's where it comes into our life. And the problem is sometimes when we try to understand spiritual things with our natural mind, and I'm not saying our mind is wrong, but sometimes the mind will limit us when it comes to things in God's word. Because Jesus and God, you know, he is God, but he defies the laws of nature many times that you and I have to obey. You know, he walked on water, and it wasn't frozen outside, you know what I mean? You know, so he had that ability, God has that ability to do those sort of things, so it's hard for us to kind of sometimes comprehend, you know, just how everything kind of works, and the Bible says actually that the natural man cannot understand the things of God, but there is hope. We can renew our mind and get our mind on board to be able to line up with what we know to be true in God's word. Okay, so the scripture we're going to look at today is found in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much today for this glorious day that you've given us, Lord. We know this is a day that you have made. Lord, I thank you so much for the anointing that is here today to be able to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives, to be able to set us free. And those things that we are believing wrong, we sacrifice those things, those sacred cows in our life that we hold on to that aren't true. And Lord, we just want to grab a hold of the things of God, the things of the Spirit. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, again, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, by faith, living by faith. You know, we all do that on different measures to some degree. You and I are faith people. And, you know, we need to understand, I guess, what it means to live by faith, following God. That means we're cutting a different path a little bit. Because the way of the world goes with the flow of the world system, right? You know, that's what fads are, you know what I'm saying? You see fads all the time on YouTube influencers or whatever influencers. I know the kids watch, what's some other ones anyway, you know, TikTok, you know, whatever. But you know, they're being influenced. And so we try to be like them, just like everybody tries to buy, you know, when a new pair of shoes comes out by a sports figure. You know, everybody's got to have those shoes. You know, so we go and follow those fads thinking that's going to make us something that maybe we don't feel we are really deep down inside. And so when we choose to live by faith, I mean, it's not wrong to go and have those things, but when we choose to live by faith, we're choosing to follow a God that we can't see, obeying laws that our flesh doesn't really want to do. And that's where it takes a little bit of effort on our part to choose to put aside maybe some of that natural thinking and just to take God at his word and trust him. Now, we operate by faith in our everyday life. Has anybody ever taken a check from somebody? Well, when you take a check from somebody, you're operating in a level of faith. You're believing that check is good. And then when you go to the bank, you're going to receive exactly what was on those numbers. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, how many have anybody ever have it not work out that way? You know, it kind of cripples our faith a little bit. But nevertheless, you know, we live by faith. And, you know, for you who are younger, direct deposit, where I put the word check, you know, if you're not used to checks. But, you know, when you have direct deposit, you're trusting that your employer is going to directly deposit your wages into your account. And so we operate by faith. And, you know, we also, maybe you've been lost before. Maybe you're lost right now. Maybe you didn't intend to come to this church today. You know, maybe you just accidentally drove by and pulled in. You know, you followed somebody. You know, hey, let's see where they're going today. Let's see where we end up. But no, sometimes you've asked directions from somebody and you just trust that they're going to tell you the right way to go somewhere. When I was a kid, we didn't have GPS. That probably hadn't even been dreamed on yet. But anyway, my parents taught me to go to the gas station because the gas station workers knew where everything was at. So when I went to a different town, or say I was down somewhere, I always knew if I couldn't find it, you know, you had to read the map, you know, and try. That's when you really had to memorize things, because you can't pull out the big old Atlas map while you're driving, you know, and try to hit the right street, you know, that you get in a wreck. But, you know, sometimes I'd have to go to a gas station, and I just trusted that that guy was going to tell me the right way to go. And so it is a little bit of faith there. So the faith that you and I need to develop, you know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, that ties in with the idea that you and I are trying to follow this invisible God. You know, we can't technically see God. Now, I see God living through you. Amen. Well, most of you anyway. But anyway, no. You know, we see God living through other people, you know, and that's the Spirit of Christ and causes us to do things that we never thought maybe we could do and how that works. But, you know, we have to learn how we can follow this God and to be able to live for Him. And so that's why we need faith. And that's why it's so important that we develop that faith. And it should be technically on your front burner of life, that you're wanting to learn how to better live by faith and to be able to follow God, because it's by faith that we understand. Now, God wants to lead us through our inner person. Without going into this too much, I hit on this every now and then, but you know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. The body is the shell, that's what you and I identify with. But technically, the real us is on the inside. You know, that's made up of your spirit and your soul. And that's the part of you. You know, God is a spirit, so technically, God leads us through our human spirit. Now, He can, before you're saved, you know, lead us through our soul. But, you know, God's best is for us to get on the same page as God. It's kind of like learning how to speak the same language as somebody else. Now, if you were in a Spanish-speaking country, you may not be able to understand or to navigate things very well because you don't speak their language. You may pick up a word here and there, but primarily you need to learn that language to be able to interact with that community. Well, God, in the same way, through our spirit, wants us to learn spiritual things, to be able to interact with Him. Now, God also wants to change our soul, our mind. You know, the Bible says, as we know in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, meaning don't let the world form you and make you. Remember last Wednesday night in our studies, this is an advertisement, you know, they talked about the potter and how he had a wheel and made clay. I think that was in most of the classes, and how the Creator there could form that into anything that they wanted. And, you know, it's like that. The world is trying to do the same thing. It's trying to mold us and form us into a certain mold so that we stay in line, you know, because the world system is anti-God. So you've witnessed that before, right? So the Bible says, don't be conformed, don't let that mold you, but be transformed. And that Greek word's metamorphosis, many of you know, the idea of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, How many feel like they're still a caterpillar every now and then, you know? But God wants us to transform into the butterfly, you know, and to be able to rise above our circumstances. Praise God. That's where faith comes in. Amen. God wants us to be able to tap into that life, and it's available. It's available for all of us. But like I say, some of us, you know, don't really seek after it. You know, just like when you go to school. You know, I love school. I loved learning until I got to high school. Then I had other things on my mind. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I never got the full effect of high school. I missed out on some things because my head was somewhere else. See? And it's like that too when it comes to the things of God. Sometimes, you know, we may be here, but we're not here. And so it takes us to be able to focus, to be able to glean and to be able to receive everything God has for us, just like when we have our personal quiet time. So that's why it's so important that we try to learn and to try to grow. You know, the Bible, you know, Benzie works through the inner man. We need to develop that part of our life, you know. But, you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Isn't that Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, right? So you hear it, and so sometimes you need to tell yourself what the Bible says, right? Speak it out loud. It's good practice to speak the word out loud and to do that, and that helps us to grow. But then faith is more than just hearing, but then it must be acting. Faith must act. You know, faith must do what it says that God's word says we're supposed to do. What's a good example of that? I'm glad you asked. Let's say God says to love your enemies. He did say that. How do you do that? First, we quote it. Amen. And we quote it again. And again. And again, yep. And then we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to maybe do some deed of kindness to show love to maybe somebody who had wronged us. And that's how faith works. And we act that out, and then we do it, and then it becomes easier and easier. So that is just something that we need to learn to develop as we start to live by faith and following God, because, you know, faith without works, meaning or corresponding action, is dead faith. James talks about that. You know, now, before we go too far, I mean, we don't want to get into works righteousness, where it's just not our works that justifies us before God. We know that doesn't work either. But our works are a manifestation of what we believe in our heart. Amen. You know, what we believe, we do. Just think about your whole life. What you really believe on the inside is how you work in your life, how you operate in your life. And so you can video yourself, hire somebody to video you, follow you around, and then play that back, and, oh, that's what I believe, huh? So it is important that we get to that place where we understand that we need corresponding action to God's word. And so that means we need to surrender ourselves to God's word. Now, our flow, our church, is that we believe that God said it. I believe it, so it must be so. We don't believe the Bible is a book of suggestions. We believe the Bible is a book of actions. Amen. And so we need to do. Now, do we fall short? Yes, we do. We fall short. We're not perfect. But we can't make excuses. You know, I have a philosophy, make solutions, not excuses. You know, find a way. We got to find some way to overcome this obstacle. And that comes by, you know, as we endeavor to live by faith, because, you know, I do know it helps to read the whole Bible. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Amen?
Amen.
So when we live by faith, we start to follow God. We don't understand everything, but we're following a God that does know everything. And I put my trust in Him. Amen? I put my trust in Him.
Thank you.
That He's the one who's going to bring us to the other side and get us through. He parted the Red Sea. Amen? And He brought down the walls of Jericho. All these things God did for the people who were following in obedience to Him. Now, to me, the greatest love, act of love that a parent can do is to get your kids in church and to start that faith life at a young age, back when they're really impressionable. And that's just a good thing to do, is to get your kids in church and to get them trained up in the things of God. And also do it at home. You know, it's not just the church's responsibility. You know, I've always told that story. One parent complained to us a long time ago, and they wonder why their kid was acting like a heathen. And I says, well, because, you know, she said it's your job to train him. I go, we only have him an hour. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we work miracles here, but man, we can't work that. We just ain't working that miracle. You know what I'm saying? We got him 1 hour a week, and you want us to change your life, you need to change your mouth. Because your kid is listening to what your mouth is saying. That's what's happening. Needless to say, they're not a part of our church anymore. No, I'm just kidding. That's a long time ago. They grew up. But anyway, it's just, you know, you have to, it's just something we got to live at home. It's not something that we just do part-time. It's got to be a full-time job, full-time responsibility. So we do that, and we train our kids, you know, in the way that they should go. Because when you live by faith, you don't see the whole picture all the time. I always like to use this example. You know, those paint by numbers or whatever it is, or those coloring books where you trace and you draw, go to 1 and 2 and 3, and all of a sudden, if you follow all the numbers, by the time you're done, wow, something just materialized. But when you follow God, we don't have all the numbers. We just may have the next step. You know what I'm saying? By the next step. So we go to that step, and then God will give us another step. And so that's where we learn what it means to trust. Trusting this God we can't see, who will lead us on the inside. From the inside, we'll get that witness, that something that you know on the inside that you have to do, right? That's how it works. It's, you know, it's not science. It's supernatural. And then you're going to make mistakes. But that's okay. You have to understand, you know, most of you have been parents, or you're going to be a parent, and you know that you want your kids to learn things, right? Now, how many parents love it when their kids fail? You know, oh, I just love it that they fail. No, no parent. No, but you want them to learn from the failure.
Amen.
No, you want them to get up, dust themselves off,
yes.
Get back in the game, man. Don't cry. Don't sit there and pout. Don't cry. Get over it. And get back up. And that's what God wants to do. God wants us to get back on track. You have to understand that God's a loving God. He's our Heavenly Father. He does not want us to fail. He wants us to learn along the way. And in that learning, we're going to maybe make some mistakes, but we're also going to have a lot of victories. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to have to take joy in the things that God does to us and through us, and we're starting to get to the place where He wants us to be. So we get that picture. And see, you may say, well, I don't have any faith. Well, the Bible says something different. He said God has given us each a measure of faith. So God has given us some faith to get started with. He doesn't leave us with nothing. No. Then it's up to us to be able to do something with that faith. See, it's our responsibility to develop and grow our faith. God's a working participant, wants to work in us and through us, but we're going to have to do it. Why? Because God gave us a free will. And it's whatever we want to do with that will, we can do. You know, if we want to, you know, you can, you don't have to obey God. For now, anyway. Right? Things may change after He comes again, amen? If you miss the rapture, then you're going to think, might have been something to that, you know, or whatever the case may be. But no, we have free will. We can do whatever we want with the life he's given us. Now, hopefully, we give it back to him, and that's where the fun starts. You know, I thought I was having fun until I met God. You know, and then I found out what fun's really all about. Amen. You know, getting into a relationship with the creator of the heavens and earth, and to be able to see things from his perspective, it really makes a lot of sense to life. So faith comes by hearing, and that's what we're doing right now. But then faith is refined through testing. That's what we need. We need to grow our faith, then our faith needs to be tested. You know, and when it's tested, it kind of shows if there's any impurities in it. Anything that needs to refine, like the old example of, you know, when they refine silver. You know, it may look good, but then when you apply heat to it, all of a sudden this ugly stuff comes out. You know, and that's called dross, I think. And so the silversmith will then take a tool, and when that dross comes to the top, he'll just wipe it away. Well, it's been in there the whole time, but you couldn't see it until heat was applied. So when heat is applied to your and my life, sometimes ugly stuff comes out, right? Just when you thought you had it over, didn't that happen? Then all of a sudden you do something or say something stupid. But that's okay. You know, that's not who I am. That's just the old nature, amen? You gotta be positive about this. Don't beat yourself up. Don't put yourself down. Don't let anybody come up to you, "Oh, I thought you were a Christian." I don't think about it, I am. I just ain't perfect yet. What's your excuse, right? Huh? Just kidding. I sound kind of feisty today, don't I? I really feel happy on the inside. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, so we get that faith, and we need to live it out in a real world, and that's what it's about. It's not just hiding in here and raising our hands and singing the loudest. Praise God. Some of you got good voices, I'll give you that. But we have to learn to live it out there. Amen. That's where it really matters. As a church, we need to be less concerned about separation of church and state and be more concerned about when Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. That's the one. You know, they say that them sheep and goats kind of look alike. Certain breeds kind of look similar to each other. But the shepherd knows. He knows the ones that are real. He knows the ones that are his. And so we got to make sure that we're the ones that hear his voice and not just hear it, but obey it. Amen? And start to follow him with our whole heart. Now, so the next point I want to look at is the idea is that by faith we understand. And this is what we need to be able to understand. The word understand means to perceive the intended meaning or comprehend. Now, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've misunderstood things before. I can look at a situation and I misunderstand what was really happening. I maybe come in at the wrong moment. Or maybe, you know, sometimes we can read something and misunderstand it. But see, this says, by faith we understand. So when we really understand, it's going to take faith to really get the intended meaning or to comprehend what it is God is trying to tell us. And to be able to see it from his light. And so we need to, what I like to call, SI, spiritual intelligence. There's a lot of people writing books. There's emotional intelligence. There's natural intelligence. You know, people are smart. There's a lot of people a lot smarter than me, but I like to go after spiritual intelligence. That's my game. That's where I'm going to go. See, to me, there's three kinds of smart. There's book smart people. There's street smart people. And there's God smart people. Amen? We need to be God smart. Meaning we understand what the creator of the heaven and earth said. See, book smart means that you're really educated. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with these. But they fall short unless you get the last one. So really educated, you know. But the really educated can dot the I's and cross the T's, but they can't relate in a real world. They can't really interact with the world because their mental acuity is so high, and they have trouble interacting. And then you got your street smart people, and they're street savvy. You know, it's good to know. I mean, you got to find those people because they'll help you, you know, do some things, understand really what's happening, who to connect with and all that stuff. You got street savvy, and they're going to know where to park or where to good deal. And they can really relate to the world. And that's fine, too. But the key that you and I need to get as Christians is that you and I need to learn how to be God smart. And that's in tune with that Creator, who is a spirit being. And the start, and I know this is going to be basic for some, but in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Okay? That scripture, when I first got saved, it just blew off the pages into my heart. It just was so amazing because I'd read it before. You know, I went to church a while before I got saved. You know, I don't know if I was just checking it out or what, but I wasn't really surrendered my life yet. And I read some of this stuff and I just couldn't get it. Just didn't understand it. But when I became born again, you know, when I received that new life of Christ, everything changed. All of a sudden, I could start to see things in its natural light because we are born spiritually dead, separated from God. Wasn't your fault. You just born that way. How many know some of us are born certain ways? You know what I mean? How many's born at a certain height and you wish you was a little bit taller? You can't change that, can you? That's tough. Now, there's certain things we can change. But primarily, sometimes we're just born certain ways. And see, we're born separated from God due to the sin of Adam. It's been passed down. It's hereditary. And so that has to be changed. And that only happens when, you know, when we become born again, then all of a sudden we can see the kingdom of God. So God is a spirit. And like I mentioned, we can better communicate with him when we are connected spiritually. You know, like I said, God can speak to us before that, and he did me. He was leading me and guiding me and leading me to the place he wanted to be. And I remember different times in my life that somebody would cross my path and try to share the gospel with me. And down inside, I wanted to hear it. But up here, it just wasn't cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Just wasn't cool. And I just wasn't ready to surrender yet. I didn't want to give up what I thought I had to give up. And so I rejected it. Even though deep inside, I could feel the Holy Spirit pulling me, wanting me to come to Christ. And so then later on, I finally quit struggling. And I surrendered my life to Christ, and then it made a big difference. It's a game changer. My life totally changed. And God was speaking to me before I was saved, but it wasn't something that I could totally grasp. So what is it that we do as a Christian, how we need to help people? Now, we need to evangelize, right? We're coming up into a great time of seed sowing as we... Easter is coming right around the corner, and we need to be able to reach people. Now, one thing we have to remember is that we don't try to persuade people or convince them. We just need to let the Holy Spirit convict them. You know, we just come and share the truth. Hey, what did Jesus do in my life? If you can tell people what Jesus did in your life, they may want it. They may want it. And so, then we can be walking by faith, because part of the faith walk and understanding is the fact that we need to understand that people without Christ are lost and what it takes for us to be able to bring them into the kingdom of God. Now, how many would probably admit that sometimes it's better to get somebody saved than it is to win the argument? You know what I mean? Sometimes we just got to win that argument, don't we? But when you win the argument, guess what happens? you lose the relationship sometimes. So sometimes we just have to see the big picture to be able to love on people, even when they're unlovable. I know for a fact in my life, there was times, I know I look like a lovable person, you know what I mean? But I was very unlovable. And sometimes, you know, not all the time, but I was unlovable. And there's probably times my mom didn't even love me, I no doubt, you know. I was a little bit of a, got a little bit of trouble, you know. And, but the idea of not judging somebody and to be able to share the truth with them. I still remember the church I first got involved with. I checked out a church or two when I went to Denver because I knew I needed to change my life. I moved to Denver for 9 years, so that's where I met my beautiful wife. But none of the women around here liked me around here. I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, now really, several people wanted to marry me. It's, I know it's hard to believe. But anyway, the boy, that dodged a bullet on that one, though. My gosh. I'm hard enough. I'm not that great a husband, even as a Christian. No telling what I'd have been like as a heathen. Lord have mercy. But, you know, I do remember that finally God, I checked out a church or two, and finally God led me to the church where he was going to, that he was going to use to change my life. And I remember just coming into that place and just how God started to minister to me. And these people would love on me. And I remember being a part of the singles group. And they just accepted me. I mean, I wasn't there yet. But they welcomed me in and made me feel a part of things. And see, that's what I like about our church. We're a very accepting church. Amen. You know, and we let people in and we just receive them with the Spirit of Christ. We may not be perfect in everything, but we have that going for us. Amen. Amen. I mean, that's the feedback I get from a lot of people. So you can, you know, be happy about that. But see, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move as we walk by faith. Now, last point I want to look at is the idea of how by faith we understand. We need to understand the idea of God's creative power. God's creative power. Because the scripture says that God, I'll go back and read it again. You know, says by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. As we know the story, you know, God showed up on the scene. That's where we jump in. We don't know what was going on before that. Don't know where God came from. That's okay. I know where I came from. So I come from God. But, you know, God's creative power, and that's what you and I need to receive right now. We need to understand what that means to admit that God has that creative power. So God was able to create something out of nothing. There was nothing here. Zero, zilch, nada. Then all of a sudden, God spoke words of faith, and then there was something. That's the power of faith. That's the power of what God can do. So God spoke that nothingness into existence, and, you know, it was something. And the universe came into being just by the spoken word of God. And that's where everything started. Now, like I said, we don't know where God came from, but God's word is a creative power. That's why we stress you've got to get into the word of God, because God's word can change your life. You know, I tried to reform myself many times, tried to quit and make myself better, couldn't do it. But when I allowed the word of God to come into my life, it changed me. Amen. From the inside out. And that's where it's got to work. I tried to conform. I tried to force myself, my flesh, my fallen nature, to obey certain things. And I'm pretty stubborn. I could do pretty good, but I couldn't do it all forever. I couldn't hold it. I mean, I couldn't keep up. But only when I got Jesus on the inside, that's when things started to transform and things started to change. And that's that creative power of God. Now, I want you to think about that in your head a little bit, you know, is the idea is that when faith we understand, now, we have to take that at face, the word for what it is, because there are things in the Bible that we have to take at face value, and we need to take them at faith value instead of face value. Because sometimes we struggle, and it takes our, what I found for me, it takes my head a little bit of time to catch up with my heart. Things that I know to be true in my heart, my head doesn't accept. Now, the word prepared here, it talks about, is to adjust, finish, or complete. So it means to arrange something and put it in its appropriate condition. So we see what God was doing here. He spoke, and then it put things in the correct order. I mean, I'm not going to go into it all, but if you've ever studied how the human body, all the different parts and different things in the body, how that works, and all the uniqueness of all these things, it's just amazing. It couldn't happen by chance. It had to be a plan. And that plan comes from the Creator. So God did that for creation. And what I want us to see is that God's Word is still doing that today, making those changes. You know, so if God can make something out of nothing, don't you think God can make something out of our life? Yes. That's what we have to see. God has the ability to take nothingness and make something. Well, now, here he's got us. Somebody that he can work through. And all we have to do is be a willing participant. Here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, I want to follow you. I may not understand everything. I may not really do it right every time. But Lord, I want to follow you. I want you to change my life. Those are powerful prayers that God will answer. I guarantee it. God will start the work in your life. All we have to do is participate. Be a willing participant. And to be able to follow him and everything that he wants. Because the problem is that you and I have sold ourselves short because we limit ourselves when we limit God in our life. We limit ourselves when we limit God in our life. So the key is we need more God. So it's like having, you got a 4-inch water pipe and then you got a little it goes to a 3/4-inch hole. I mean, you're not going to get the full flow. So we have to be able to open that flow, and we need to get it so that it'll flow perfectly through us. And so we have the restrictions on us. We know the flesh nature, we're going to go into that, but you know, the Bible says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. So you and I have to get to the place where we're willing to live this faith life. And I want to help you. I want to help you do that. Because I know that people help me in my life get to that place. And, I never thought I would ever be doing what I'm doing now. I was shy. I didn't really have any desire to, you know, do anything in front of people. And I'm not saying God's going to make you do that. But see, all you have to do is say, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. And then see where it goes. Amen?
Amen.
That's where grace comes in. And we're going to stop right there today. Let's pray.